Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. Climate change was heard briefly in the news recently. Reports from Durban, South Africa, where yet another UN summit took place in an attempt to find some international framework for agreement on how countries might address the problem. It was as if the static that surrounds the subject was momentarily relieved and transmission was suddenly clear, just as it was for a moment 2 years ago in Stockholm or last year in Cancun, as if the ether was freed from electromagnetic chaos and the still, small, disembodied voices of those engaged in the debate could be heard, crying out for attention and action. Our expectations have been lessened. We no longer think that these meetings will result in much, no longer hope that the United States, China, and India, the big polluters, will find some reasonable common ground beyond differentially motivated equivocation. We no longer hear the small island nations already dealing with sea level rise, storm surge, and flooding. We no longer hear the scientists affirming past projections. We no longer hear the self-promoting NGOs. We no longer hear the angry youth who pack their idealism into backpacks to attend these meetings where they get their lesson in failed governance, their reality check on their aspirations for their future, and a T-shirt. I'm sorry. It's so hard not to be cynical. Some deemed the Durban meeting a success because, for example, it prolonged the Kyoto Protocol and its non-binding, unenforceable abatement provisions that have not been met by most nations with the exception of the European Union. It agreed to halve the global warming goal of the limited temperature rise from 4 degrees centigrade to 2, even as continuing scientific studies point to even higher temperatures in the offing. It agreed to the establishment of a global green climate fund of some $100 billion a year to be made available by rich countries to poor by year 2020, with no consensus on a system to identify, collect, or distribute the funds. It relieved India's fear that associated costs would impede its rapid economic development and societal transformation. It provided China more time to continue record construction of coal-fired and nuclear-generating plants and to develop and market an alternative energy production capacity for solar and wind generation technology worldwide. It gave Canada's conservative government political cover behind which to abrogate Kyoto entirely. And it removed climate from U.S. political consciousness for yet another year, this one with a presidential election, remember. In the midst of all this, there was another World Ocean Day, organized by the Global Forum on Oceans, Coasts, and Small Islands, addressing the impact of the treaty drafts and negotiations specifically on ocean issues such as acidification and the physical displacement and social dislocation of inundated coastal refugees. The presentations were responsible and fervid, a justifiable attempt to argue for the inclusion of the ocean as an essential element in any process of adaptation, mitigation, or invention of alternative policies, investments, and behaviors that would relieve the negative realities of continuing increasing emissions and their outcomes. Despite this well-meaning attempt, as in the past, in effect, the ocean was hardly mentioned in the final reports and recommendations. Such a deal. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.